Hey guys, it's Eric RPG, and I've got another review for you. And this time it is Final Fantasy 16 PlayStation 5, and it's the only currently available platform for the game, although PC release does seem likely. I have no knowledge or information on any platforms beyond PS5, but since, other than PC, but since recent developments have stated, that Square have renewed their commitment to producing more Xbox content with the announcement of the Final Fantasy XIV release on the Xbox Series S and X. Maybe that will happen. But to get on with the review, obviously it's the latest in the Final Fantasy games, and it's hard to actually quantify this game as an RPG because there's so little meat of the RPG experience within the game. It's more of an action game, and it's a little undercooked, but that also basically tells you everything about this game other than its audio and visual fidelity, because the story isn't cutting it that well either. But this isn't to say the game isn't fun, it's just, I'll get into it. But, basically, to cover the story first, it's not the grandest of plots, but it is a Devil May Cry story, type of story drawn out over the course of several hours, because the game wants to still pretend that it's an RPG. And while it doesn't overstay its welcome, it gets a bit lengthy once you get into the side quests, which are mostly the same, but are also feels like they're completely necessary if you don't want additional challenge in the game that you will definitely run into, because even on the normal difficulty, the final battle is kind of trying because of how much HP they have and how much damage they can do to you. You kind of need all the help you can get, especially if you're not good at dodging. And while the game is gracious with getting a good dodge window, it doesn't always help if you aren't quick enough to react in time, because if you're in the middle of an attack animation, it's kind of hard to cancel out of it. You kind of have to, like, not go super aggressive in fights. You more or less have to buy your time. And I guess there is a degree of strategy in it, so that there's the RPG in the game for you, but it's definitely an action game first, and an RPG not even really secondary. It's more tertiary at that point. But, anyways, you play as a character named Clive, who's a shield of the Phoenix icon. The icons are just, that's what they call the summons in this game now. And they're basically, people embody these spirits and then can become host to them and basically assert their will over them, because apparently, without going into the spoilers, why they can even do this in the first place, basically this gives them certain status privileges, but thing is, there are also non-magic users and then magic users, and the people who are magic users can follow one of two camps. So you either become a dominant, which are people who embody these icons and become them, or you're just a normal person who could do magic things, but apparently in a bizarre, doesn't really all that work that well allegory for slavery, the ones who can just use magic are considered outcasts and are aberrations, unlike the gods that they worship who embody these summons, and therefore they're spurned by society and treated as slaves. And it's not particularly well done. If you want a better story that deals with slavery before quickly moving on to the real threat and the real reason everything's happening, and go play Tales of Arise. It does it much better, and the gameplay's actually better too. He is in service to his brother, who embodies the Phoenix icon, the icon of fire, and basically an incident happens because there's just conspiracy against them. Basically, they get sold out by the Empire through a backstabbing person. That's all I can really say without spoiling anything. And then 13 years pass, and you go through... That's basically the prologue, and then, like, 13 years later, you're basically a slave to the Empire, and then you run into your childhood friend, and then you basically get recruited by a freedom fighter who's looking to build a better place for these branded magic-using people. And you're also in the midst of looking for the person who supposedly killed your brother. I mean, that's what he believes because there was no body found. And he did see him get chewed up quite a bit. That probably make anybody think that they died. But you do remember he is a phoenix, though, so he probably isn't dead. And the game basically hits this. Like, because if he had died, he wouldn't be able to use his phoenix powers, I imagine. But, whatever. But he also learns that he's host to the icon of Ifrit. And he just learned this later in life because he just couldn't access the power earlier in his life, which is why he became a brand in the first place. After he was sold to the Empire. Ifrit has the weird ability to basically draw the essence of other icons, and that's how you use the other icon abilities in this game. And when I said earlier that the battle system is undercooked, this is where it comes into play, because while each icon has its own skill set that works differently from each other, there is no such thing as elemental weaknesses. In fact, status ailments don't really exist in this game. The only status ailment that does exist is the stagger meter, which is something that's been around since Final Fantasy XIII. And it works in a way similar to Final Fantasy VII remakes, where the meter will just increase as you do damage. But it's been dumbed down because no matter how much time passes while you not having to attack the enemy, it just doesn't go down. So just there are predetermined points when it goes down. It goes down to zero, then they're staggered for a bit. And you're supposed to capitalize on that, because when they're staggered, they don't move, and they take additional damage, and you could build a multiplier, just like FF13 in those games. You use AP, of course, to learn different skills, and you have to use those to your advantage, but they have cooldowns, which makes the game feel a bit more like an MMO, which, I think you could take the part of the development team of Final Fantasy XIV and Realm Reborn, but you can't take the MMO hard coding into those programmers because they still left their mark on it, because it still feels like an MMO with the cooldowns. And while there are ways to reduce those cooldowns, you really can't take advantage of that until you do Final Fantasy mode, which doesn't get unlocked until after you beat the game anyways, and the only reason you'd want to play that mode is to get additional gear and make that run easier for you, because there's an achievement attached to beating a game on that difficulty. And improving the accessories that reduce those cooldowns involves having two of those accessories, which means you have to make sure you get it on your first run before you start the second. Otherwise, you'll have to play a game a third time. And you'll have to anyways if you really do want all the accessories, though, because of how some of these challenges work. If you want to get the +2 version or whatever, you can just kind of have to play it some more. But if they just rebalanced the game to just make the cooldowns work on a system similar to Tails, where you have like a charge turn meter, and then it just gradually goes up over time, and then you can just use it again, That would work a lot much better than what they did with the MMO style cooldowns. Especially since most of the combat outside of the icon abilities is just attacking with your sword. There's only one weapon type, because they didn't even figure out a way to introduce different multiple weapon types to change up combat and at least the melee aspect. And like I said, the story is almost at odds with itself, because I think the way they deal with Clive's childhood friend, Jill, was kind of done a bit dirty towards the second half of the game. It's like right after her character arc ends, her character development just drops off a cliff. And while we do get a background story about his canine friend, Torgel, yes, the dog's name's Torgel. That's a terrible, terrible name for a dog. But, anyways, while we do learn a little bit about him, it would have been nice to learn a little bit more. Maybe encountering another of his kind. Whatever. And then you could ride a chocobo, but the areas are so congested, there's very little reason to run to use them. Unless you're trying to get from one place to another, which is another annoyance, because, like I said, there are these, chronolith trials that you can participate in to get extra accessories. And the game doesn't have the foresight to just add those things to the menu if you decide to give up and challenge them later. Because, like, they're basically the same as this thing called the Ariat Stone, which lets you do stage replay in arcane mode if you want to replay the levels to either challenge yourself in the challenge mode, which actually gives you scoring and stuff like that. Because the game has some light Devil May Cry elements, which are score-based, but they only apply in that mode, really, which is weird. But you could do the stage replay if you just want to pick up an accessory you missed, because you don't get to go back to those areas in the normal game. So that's the only way to get them at that point. And you can just exit out of the level. The game doesn't tell you this, and then the game will just save all the items that you found in it. So that's good to know. And I'm glad I'm telling you this so that you don't freak out over it. This review's already gone on long enough, as it is, but despite the fact that the game feels really undercooked on all sides, other than the audio and visual presentation, other than a few minor gripes I could levy at the developers for the lack of accessibility options, and what accessibility options they do have are locked behind accessories, of which you have to equip these rings, and there's like five of these rings, but you only get three accessory slots. They could have expanded that to the full five to at least let you do all of these rings at once. Even though two of the rings actually cancel each other out, you can't have both of them on to get the benefits of both, which is stupid. But also, the game has the very outdated concept of QTEs, which thankfully at least only have one of two button presses, and one of those button presses has two different variants, which involves either hitting square or mashing the X or the square button, and which is one of the most annoying versions of the QTE I've ever had, because I feel like those are designed specifically to wear down your controller so that you buy another one, because the right to repair doesn't really exist, and then you'd either be forced to look for someone who knows how to do that and knows how to get those parts so they can fix it themselves, or buy a new controller because that's what they want you to do. Because the frustration with the other method is just untenable for most people. And other things like how the text size for dialogue can be expanded to be readable, and going so far as having opaque things, but like, the text size for the UI itself is still small. It could make certain things hard to read. And the fact that the active time lore only covers certain persons of interest at any given time, but you can't actually look at it during a boss fight to learn more about that boss. Instead, you have to go back to your hideout and then talk to the chronicler, who then shows you the whole lexicon of the game, in case you really want to know the lore of the game, even though the game's so hyper-focused on the story of Clive and, like, three other characters that it almost doesn't even matter anyway. But, like, I feel like despite all this disappointment, my review sounds kind of negative, but I still think the gameplay is good enough to warrant a playthrough. Because, man, I think there's something about its earnestness and the fact that it despite it, the usual failing of story and narrative department in Final Fantasy, at least the gameplay is good enough to go, yeah, I feel like I didn't waste my time with this. I just wish the game could be better, and I know how it could be better, but they decided not to do that. And this is, while this is the team's first attempt at an action-based game, it does lead a good foundation for them to seriously improve on it on the next entry they decide to do, if they decide to pursue this action-style gameplay over the traditional RPG that we've kind of grown accustomed from the series. Or at the very least, it'll be a good template for whatever next game they make that involves action games. Even if Final Fantasy decides, oh yeah, we've done our experiment, we're going to go back to turn-based or whatever. You have to understand that this game also was in development concurrently, and probably even before Final Fantasy VII Rebirth was developed. And that's probably going to expand on the gameplay systems that is going to make Final Fantasy VII Remake feel quaint by comparison. But, hopefully they take lessons from that game, and the next game they do, like, a much stronger action RPG title, and it lives more to the RPG game that it's trying to emulate. But, as for a score, I say it's definitely not Game of the Year material, but it is worth your time, so I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10. But that's all I got for you guys today. See you guys later. Bye-bye.